Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour. My name is Weston Kirk, here with Sean Corbett. It's about time we shout out Cherry Creek Mortgage for letting us use their studio.
Yeah, thank you, Cherry Creek Mortgage.
Round of applause, maybe?
Yeah. We've got a killer place to do a lot of our podcasts.
Yeah.
I have meetings up here every week. And, you know, sometimes I do some of my coaching, teaching and things like that up here. But their facility is top-notch. It's the best podcast place we've been at, so for sure. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to shout it out too much, because then they'll fill up and then we won't have space. But
yeah. Well, the thing is people already tried to use it a lot, but they don't have our man behind the camera.
They don't.
They don't have the secret sauce, so they're sitting there recording 2 months ago, and they still ain't got an episode back.
They don't have downtown John Brown, so.
Yeah, I love it.
Downtown John Brown. But yeah, we got a lot to get into today. We're going to open it up by talking about a current deal I've been working. I think there's a lot to dissect in this, and I thought it would be worthy of, because as a realtor, when we're going to list properties, there's a lot of ways you can get creative and sell a home.
Yeah.
You know,
and there are a lot of opportunities out there to sell without showing. We'll just give you a cash offer. No contingency. This is your number.
Wholesaling.
Certainly wholesaling, which is, you know, part of the market that I spend quite a bit of time in. But, you know, just the more retail people we know of, there is OfferPad is one. We're going to talk about them. I know you're waiting to drop them.
Oh, yeah. We are exposing OfferPad today, so make sure you don't miss that. Yeah.
Open Door, even Zillow has Make Me Offers. Well, they don't do it anymore. They bought houses and they realized their estimates were so wrong that they lost so much money. They stopped that entire program. So
there's a lot wrong with Zillow.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil in the real estate space still today.
They pulled my listing from the MLS and put the wrong address, just like changed it on Zillow to be on the opposite side of Prosper. And then they're like, you got to go through these hoops to correct it. I'm like, y'all had no problem changing it from the MLS. Yeah. Why can't you just change it back?
Just make it
right. Didn't even make sense. It was right. And they're like, oh, my bad. So
create a problem with when you do open houses.
Yeah. We got it fixed. I spent a whole day on the phone with them. But yeah, so anyways, we talked about this deal I'm working past the last episode, I think. And essentially went on a listing appointment with one of my mentees and just kind of helping them out through it, and thought we were going to go in and get the listing. Essentially, there were a bunch of dogs in the house. She's breeding dogs there, and it wouldn't be presentable to list on the market and get what we were looking to get. So we were like, okay, wholesale, we probably wouldn't get enough money. So I'd sent a lot of people over to OfferPad in the past couple of years. Nothing has gone through because, like, you know, the terms or that wasn't exactly where they wanted to be, because it was kind of in a hot market where you list it and you're going to get well above ask price. Mm-hmm. So finally we're in the situation to where we got under contract with this deal with OfferPad, and they had came in at, well, they were at 290, got them up to 300,000. And then we had to negotiate down on the property this seller is going to buy so that the equity she took from this home would be able to cover the purchase of the next home, because we weren't doing a loan on this property. It just wasn't attainable. So we're sitting here, you know, we're set to close on Monday. So by the time this comes out, we will know what happens on Monday. We'll also know what is thrown up on this green screen, which will be another topic. But anyways, they come in, we have it all worked out under contract, and I had kind of anticipated them, like any other offer, to come down a little bit. Maybe, you know, I told them from the jump, like, we can come down 5, but tell me right now if y'all are traditionally the type of people that are going to come down, you know, 20,000 or something excessive, because if that's the case, we just aren't going to have room to make this work. No, we don't do that. We're going to, you know. So we are one business day away from closing. I'd say half a business day away, because it's set for the morning. And we get a call today that they're trying to come down $24,000 on price. We also found out that the seller has an additional lien on the property of about $20,000. And then there's another 6% cut that, I say cut, but 6% credit the seller is giving to the buyer being OfferPad. So then the past 3 days, you know, we had this kind of tight budget to make this property work. And now we found out that we're getting smoked out of the water for the $60,000 we got to come up with. So I post on Facebook, like, hey, the other day, like, hey, we need $20,000. you know, we can hard money it, however, but most traditional hard money lenders are not going to finance one manufactured to homestead. So all these problems come out, but shout out Ryan Buys Houses LLC, the king of trap home, the trap lord, Texas trap buyer. He came in, said he'd do it. So
also was on our podcast.
Also was on a podcast. I thought that was a really good episode too. He dropped a lot of knowledge bombs in there. So, I mean, anyways, he's coming through and he's kind of like our saving grace to try to make this work. So long story short, we're trying to negotiate this inspection period to try to get them. Cause I mean, really we can only give about $8,000 to stay at the terms we're at to make this work versus the 24,000 they're asking. So we're going to take that number, run it by Ryan. But essentially it's like, you know, you have a good feel to give you a chance to speak on this of kind of seeing how OfferPad is operating. What are you figuring out about them as I'm going through this process?
You know, a lot of this is spelled out up front. It's part of the challenge we have as agents. We have to make sure we're aware of what the net difference is going to be when we're done, right? So we need to evaluate that from the start. When they come in and tell you that they're good with their offer terms, their offer price, and the amount of repairs and stuff like that, even though they've walked it, then we have to kind of, you know, take on faith we're going to move forward. One of the problems is we have a period of time of inspection period for them that is a little open-ended. It's, I think the way you described it was inspection. After inspection, they get 10 days, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting a traditional, we execute today, we have so many days to complete everything, they actually say, well, we don't know when we're going to get it scheduled. We'll schedule the inspection. And then from there, we've got 10 days to make a determination of what we're going to do as far as repairs and things like that. So a little disingenuous to walk the property, HVAC, foundation, roof, all the critical things are fine. It's actually a really good home. It just has the dog smell, right? So it's pretty clean and easy to figure out what it's going to cost to get where they need to get and be able to resell it. For them to say that there's not going to be much repairs or things up front and then wait until the day before and then we close one business day later is definitely, I'm going to throw a bomb at you. You can't walk away very easily. So I'm going to strong arm you into taking a much lower offer at the last minute. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned they offer $290, and the thing I was thinking, and I've done this before, right? I've negotiated contracts and I know that they'll offer me whatever they offer. I get them up. They're going to try to make it up on the repairs. Mm-hmm. I've had this happen a number of times. So they gave you 10 there and then they came back and said, well, give us 24 here. They're going to try to cover that 10 still. I think it's probably where they're, what the angle is. And they're not going to tell you that, but that's the way it looks like from my standpoint. Understand institutional buyers are looking at net. They don't care about anything else.
They're trying to do what now? They're going to cover it. We're going
to
make it work.
So they gave you a $10,000 off initially. They're trying to cover that, right? And then covering that allows them to stay where the number they originally offered, right? They're still going to be at 290 at that point if you can get them to 10. Yep. You know, you're trying to get them to at least 8, mm-hmm. and then we're good. Anything beyond that, we're going to have some pain trying to resolve and solve that issue. So
it
feels a little disingenuous from my standpoint watching this. I don't think that the way they're coming at it is totally honest and up and up. I think having, they probably buy a lot of homes without seasoned agents involved that can really resolve. Because really, primarily, we're looking at two main options most of the time. Wholesale, which is cash, no option. We close fast. We close with no conditions. We're done. And then where you have retail, which is putting it on the MLS, which gives you the greatest amount of opportunity, they're somewhere in between. Okay, so I deal with all the way from both extremes.
See, I don't think they sound too far off from just, I told them on the phone, I was like, if you're going to give me that net, we could have just wholesaled this a month ago.
And it's tempting, you know, I've worked it backwards, and I do have someone that would absolutely buy that property. I don't know if my net is going to be much better than where they are with you right now.
But you told me that day one.
I know.
That's...
Yeah, I know. And I wouldn't have had any conditions. I don't need inspections.
Now we got earnest money up. We got...
Yeah, you went through a lot of trouble to get to this point, and now we have a lot of emotional stress. Mm-hmm. And now we have a buyer buying a home that's going to be homeless made a lot of decisions based on information given to them by OfferPad, and they are running out of time quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bad situation for them for sure.
So needless to say, I'll never send them another client. Like that, you know, like that's my thing is like,
okay, just keep bringing them all to me. That's fine.
I will. I mean, that's, it's like, how do you intend to stay on business when you burn all these agents and just use them up like pieces of meat?
Yeah, you feel give me, used. You give me their net. I may be able to match it, if not do better. And I'll close it whenever they want to close it.
Just feel used, man.
Well, good. Then you'll feel better about calling me next time.
Yeah.
That's for you too.
So, man, I got a spiritual update for you too.
Uh-oh.
I relapsed.
What's in your coffee?
No. It's went to a wedding and that screwball was good, man. That's all I got to say.
I'm disappointed.
Is that?
No, I'm not. I'm not disappointed.
I just want your feedback.
How long you been? How long you been out? How long have you been sober?
This is about a month.
You're on a, I would not call you.
And then my birthday is on Friday. And then there's a pool party on the 24th.
Well, there's always going to be events. And I say
not
this
like this though.
Yeah, no, I say this, no. I say this jokingly, any one of us, and you probably aren't included in this, that do any type of dieting, every time there's always events that you have to like go into saying, well, let's wait until after that event,
mm-hmm.
then I'll start. Yeah. We all go through that. So for you and at your age, you're going to have a social event, after networking event, after marriage, after you're going to have continuous things.
That drinking is going to come heavy in marriage, huh?
No, not that kind of marriage. Going to weddings,
Might as well pick this back up.
No, so. To be ready for every day. No, it's not what I'm saying. But you didn't make, you know, you made a decision that you would not be drinking going forward. I don't think it was a way of life or a deal. It was more of a convenient opportunity for you at the time. You might have felt like it was something you wanted to change, but
I did say to you that I was like, I'm not saying this is a forever thing.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
I did a month was.
I would rather
a
you.
A month was a little disappointing.
I mean, sure. I mean, I'd fine if I'd rather you go out and have fun. You know, once a week is fine. But
think so?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's an issue for anybody. I think if you turn it into every time you go out,
yeah,
it's smash fest. Or we could talk about moderation, right? I mean, think. You know, the objective to drink is to have some type of feel from it. So know that I get that at 3 and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Then we now have
like at 3 drinks,
good moderation. Yeah.
So I went in, I was like, I'm gonna have 2. I was up till 5 a.m.
That's a long 2 drinks to get you to 5.
It wasn't 2.
I know, I'm teasing. I'm sure you kept getting
started with like, it went from 2 at the wedding and I'm just going to go home.
Well, how about this? Was it worth it?
I had a great time.
It was all good.
Yeah.
And it went till 5 in the morning. So you went home and then by yourself.
Well, no.
You went to your hotel.
No, we like my buddy. I saw a bunch of buddies I hadn't seen in like 7 years. So like we all went back to a friend. I don't want to like just throw names. Like I went to a buddy's house afterwards. Mm-hmm. Bunch of us went over there and then we were playing cards and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I thought you were going to tell me you got someone pregnant, but you know.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Not that I know of. Kingpin. I do know references every once in a while. That was one of my favorite lines.
I didn't know.
Woody Harrelson.
I didn't know that.
Was asked
is that
by.
Is that the guy that was like abusing his daughter?
He has the hair and he had the claw, the hand that he put, got stuffed in his.
No, is that the dude that was like abusing his daughter though? There's a movie.
You mean
guy.
Like now is a real life thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
There's someone, Woody. Is that the only. Woody Allen, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's been an ongoing thing for many years.
Yeah.
Long time, yeah. But Woody Harrelson was in the movie, and he had his hand stuck in a thing because he juked some guys like he's not a good bowler, and then he took their money, and they stuck his hand in the ball return and then ruined it, and he had to wear like this prosthetic. So he couldn't bowl anymore. That was where the movie started, and then he ends up going to an Amish community. Oh, no, he goes to a bowling alley. Here's this guy hitting strike after strike. And then it's Randy Quaid or Dennis Quaid, one of those. I don't remember. I'm not very good at actors. But he's like, he's in an Amish community. They can't bowl. That's not, Amish don't do anything after a certain point in technology, right? So he goes and finds them and he pretends
bowling?
To be, yeah, bowling.
Bowling's
too? Yes. So he pretends to be Amish and then he joins the community.
Did you see the,
it's so funny.
Did you see the, there was a Nelk, do you know Nelk? Oh my God. Do you know Nelk, John? Did you see the Amish video they did?
No.
Bro. They go to this, so they're like, they're pretty much like, they're these, they're almost like frat guys. Like they kind of blew up doing pranks and going to frat parties, stuff like that. So their whole thing is they're like kind of big pranksters. So they did this, they did a video, where they went to visit an Amish community, and then like the video was going to cut short, 'cause they're like, we can't do this. This is just too much. So then they found an Amish guy they could corrupt, and they flew him out to Miami, and like they gave him like 10 grand and they like took him out to Miami, and they brought him to like F1 and like strip club and all this stuff. And then long story short, the Amish dude, like after, it's like a 40 minute video. It's like a movie. And then by the end of it, they're like, he ended up like getting a Uber home, like an Uber from Miami back to like across the country. He didn't, 'cause he didn't know like what it was. Like, so he just like literally
$5,000 bill,
probably something like that. And then just like the video ended, I thought it was gonna be funny, the spoiler alert, but it just ended like, yeah, we just never heard from him again. So like, and they did like merch drops with like the Amish guys. You brought up the Amish. It was pretty funny.
What he said, oh my gosh, I committed a sin. I profaned my body. Well,
but
they looked in the mirror and he had like a little tattoo, and then the camera pulls back, he's got this giant dragon on the back of his back. So funny.
Well, they call like pretty much like chasing girls, they call it bird hunting. Like they call them, go get some birds. So they told him before they flew him out there, like, oh dude, all the birds are going to be out there. The birds all fly out for F1. And then they're on the beach, and then the Amish dude goes, so when are we going bird hunting? And then they took him to the strip club. I was like, dude, that's savage. But anyways,
let me finish the thing. So
yeah,
he ends up, the main girl character in the movie asked him if he had any kids, and then that was his reason. That was his line. None that I know of.
Oh,
that's why I told you the whole thing.
I've never seen it.
Okay, it's a good movie. Kingpin's a very funny movie.
Let's check it out.
A lot of funny lines in that thing.
I like it. People do that a lot. I'll drop a line. They're like, I love that movie, and I'm like,
yeah. See, you thought you made up everything.
I did.
You really stole it.
But I'm a time traveler and they steal it from me.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Or you play dumb. No, I've never seen it.
I really haven't seen Kingpin. What else? You had some topics to get into. We haven't talked about Target.
I'm actually kind of, I've not, so we actually shopped at it randomly, right? So Stacy and I, my wife and I, we've shopped at Target because it's easy, it's convenient. We will pick up some Cat and Jack, which is some clothing stuff for our kids. They're fairly inexpensive, and they're, most of the time, they have a lot of cute options. So yeah. We like it.
Yeah.
And Kohl's doesn't have it.
No, they don't.
We're not driving to Dillard's, and we're not spending, you know, big money. So, you know, the kids are only going to wear it for 6 months, right? So we get things that look cute and that are trendy, and we'll get them. And Cat and Jack's been a decent brand for that. Target has a lot of it. So we'll pick up things like that. You know, we'll pick up obviously groceries, and we'll do all of this simultaneously. And we'll even get some Lego things because all of our kids like Legos now.
Yeah,
because they got toys, so we get the Legos too. But I took issue with Target years back when they were letting men in the women's bathrooms, right?
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
But yeah, I mean they don't have a problem with transgender choosing to use women's bathrooms. They have men in women's bathroom, and they've had a number of court cases over it. That was not an issue for them. And that's where I started kind of taking issue with Target as a store, as a company. But you know, and I would say probably about a year and a half ago, for some reason, we just stopped shopping at Target. Just coincidentally, it wasn't a moral issue.
Yeah.
We just stopped shopping at there. And it wasn't until this latest round of things that I definitely don't want my 2, my 4, and my 8-year-old, you know, learning about tucking,
yeah,
and what they call it, breast reduction things that you can wear to hide your breasts so you can pretend you're a boy. All these, I couldn't believe it. Like, what are they doing? Like,
yeah,
your audience is generally families, a nuclear family, and we're focused on targeting intentionally out of your way to, you know, attract that type of buyer or client. So I don't need to have those conversations. Well, I don't need to have the conversations with people that go for that, to shop for those type of things.
Well, you were saying you're going to Gulf Shores. I didn't know if they had an adult size tuck for you.
Yeah, I thought about wearing some women's. I had a 3-piece that I picked out. And it looks good. It was edible.
Yeah. It's edible. Sean's out here tucking at the Gulf Shores looking like a snack, huh? So, yeah. So I actually, I saw that and I was like, I'm never going to Target again. And then like 3 days went by and I completely forgot that it happened. And I ordered a Apple Watch from there. And then I was on my way out. I was like, damn it.
Did you take it back? Where's it at?
It's at home. I don't wear it.
Oh, it's good. That's why we buy them.
Yeah. Got another one off Amazon. Plan on smashing this one from Target.
You gonna give it back to them?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm keeping it. It's too much effort. But never again.
But we just actually just don't shop really at Target anymore.
What do you think Bud Light goes for at Target? Probably a premium, huh?
I don't know.
Like it's on sale everywhere else, yeah. But at Target it's probably...
Yeah, because they attract the people that would really love
yeah.
to. And, you know, out of the population that buys Bud Light in the trans community, which isn't very high, I don't think it's really going to make an impact for Bud Light, to be honest with you. I don't think that's really their target audience. I'm not sure why they would decide to go after that target audience.
They're still getting heat, too. It's been like 2 months, right?
Target obviously got punished way more than... they're a much larger company. What they got hit in a week, what like Bud Light took in like 3 months.
Well, and because like I think what they did was a little more extreme, obviously. Like if you're going after beer drinkers, that's 21 and up.
Sure, it's one to change your logo of your company to Rainbow during Pride Month, but it's another to specifically take everything that they would shop for and bring it into your store for all the families to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different way of doing it.
Yeah.
And the one that created a lot of the, I guess.
Because that happens, right? I don't have kids, but they probably like, what's that? And then you got to answer it.
Yeah, you got to explain to them.
Why, kids be asking questions like.
Yeah, why is this girl saying she's a boy? I mean, they ask things like that.
Have you had to have that conversation yet?
I know of a kindergarten teacher that has a student in their class, kindergarten here in Texas.
Yeah.
And the student is a boy that wears dresses. And you wouldn't really know because at that age, there's not a whole lot of distinguishing marks. Sometimes if you cut your hair a certain way or do mm-hmm. certain things, there's not any other things that develop and, you know, that show up. So, and the problem is this particular student wants to go into girl bathrooms and they're already creating some issues. So
say kindergarten.
Yeah. I look at it, man, I don't know another way to think through it. I mean, it looks like child abuse to me, you know, to allow them to go and subject themselves to that and then have other kids in the same grade have to be subjected to this. It's not, I don't see it as being the child's fault. They don't know. And they don't know there should
be
an issue.
They're just being developed by that environment.
And they're being encouraged. They're being, you know, you like pink? Okay, well then let's try a dress on.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be cute. You would be cute. And then it turns into something a lot more than, well, I like when I get this attention. I like this interest. And I do like pink more than blue.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they turn it into now it's an identity. And who they are and not what they were born as.
Mm-hmm.
And they start separating these things, even though there's nothing that separates them except for just the emotional feel about it.
Yeah.
There isn't anything else. There's no science. There's nothing else that proves it.
Have you had to have the tough conversation, like explaining like.
With my oldest?
Any of them?
No. I mean, my 2 and 4 year old, they don't. We are in a bubble, to be fair, where we go.
But you got the kindergartner you're talking about.
No, it's not our school.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's not at our school. I'm just giving an example that this is something that is being confronted even in, you know, North Texas.
Yeah.
You know, having to address or deal with that and have to respond and answer to these type of things.
Do you know if Target kept it there after the heat or did they pull it off the shelves?
I don't know. I don't know the current thing on Target. I have no idea. I just know that that's a permanent stain that's going to cost them an unbelievable amount of money.
John,
even if they reset.
I think we need a vlog day at Target. Yeah. We have to, yeah.
What if they allow us to do a podcast there?
Not ours.
No, I probably wouldn't cheer them on. I'll give you another example. They have a small brokerage here.
We could throw it on the green screen.
Yeah, throw it on the green screen. Okay. There's a small brokerage here. It's a regional brokerage. And I say small, they're actually pretty large. And they decided to change their logo from the default logo to a rainbow logo.
Who's that?
J-Par.
Okay.
Okay. And J-Par is full of a lot of agents here at North Texas. I think that's where they started and that's where they were built. And there's a lot of pretty strong, conservative, right-leaning people that are in the organization that are not interested in making that a part of their brand.
Mm-hmm.
But they changed it, and it changed it across the board. And they did that. They may have only done it for maybe not even a day because they already reset and took it down, which is always outlash on that side, too.
We're taking agents.
So, and immediately I know some people that are there and they were extremely angry.
It's an interesting play in Texas because in Dallas County, there are no additional rights for that LGBTQ community in housing. It's not a protected class.
I don't have a, I mean, to me, I'll rent or sell or do anything to anyone. I don't care.
No, I don't either.
But you're just pointing out that it's not a protected class.
It's not a protected class.
In the event that you say, no, we don't.
And I don't think
we don't rent to that particular group, and then there's nothing they can do as a counter. Is that what you're saying? It's not a protected
Essentially.
Class. Okay. You can discriminate against them without any retribution or consequence. You know, you can discriminate a lot in a lot of different ways, actually, that are not protected classes. So it's interesting you identify that here in Dallas. I didn't know that.
Well, you see it at Zillow has it on there. At the end of there, they're like, is LGBTQ a protected class? And then it'll show you by county, yes or no.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And that's like, you looked at it that way.
Yeah. I was like, huh, is it? Nope.
It's just Dallas County?
I mean, I'm sure it's across Texas. I don't see a place in, I don't know, like, how that works.
And I don't know if Zillow is our model of what's legal or not. Maybe we... Because they certainly missed their Zestimates.
That's true. And they
maybe
got
we
my,
don't look at
and
Zillow.
They got my listing wrong.
Yeah. Let's not look at them for objectivity. I would discourage any of you from discriminating against an LGBT.
Yeah, that would be dumb. I mean, I don't care when it comes to business. Like, I'm just trying to get paid. You know what I mean? Trying to lease houses, sell houses.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't look at it like... my pride there doesn't get in the way.
Your pride there. I've closed a number of, you know, LGBT. It's not a big deal for me. I'm just pointing out that there, that it's something that's coming up in this community, and I would not attach your brokerage to that personally. And I'll tell you one thing. I know you don't particularly care or not, but EXP is generally pretty liberal. That's its roots. That's where it came from. It is. It's in
Shocker.
It's in Washington.
They have the rainbow option. They got the.
They do. So they do it different. They're not going to change their logo, but
they give you the option to do it.
And you could. Yeah. You can do that. And they have plenty of communities and things available for agents that are in those communities. They offer plenty of resources for that. They're going to celebrate the Pride Month like every other big corporation. I mean, they actually big news. They actually went on. I think the S&P 500 as of a couple of days ago, and their stock shot up.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I'd have known that.
Yeah.
Because I actually took out stock about a day before.
Really?
And it shot up 30% in one day. So it happens. It just makes our stock worth much more. I mean, it's incredible.
I have unfollowed everyone that's posted about Pride Month celebration.
Okay. So you don't follow me anymore?
Did you post about it?
No.
I was going to say, literally, if I see it on my feed, I'm like, nope.
You don't have any pride in Pride?
Nope. I don't celebrate it.
Surprises me.
Yeah?
No. All right, what else we got? Let's give us another topic.
Let's see.
Talked about Target. I didn't think we were talking about Target.
I didn't either, but we were just kind of like close to it, and I knew we hadn't talked about it. You had some other topics for us. We already talked about dogs going to hell. That's your stance.
Yep.
We
talked about your current deal.
Current deal.
Any relationship stuff going on for you? Is still everything about the same?
What do you mean?
You made some revelations. We were doing a podcast up here. You said that you were...
All right. I think I got an update. Okay. I'm rethinking some stuff and I want you to talk me through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, if you wait, you know, if you just like abstain.
Yep.
I feel like I'd be so regretful when I'm older.
Like you miss the opportunity to do it when you can.
Like, dude, yeah, because I don't want to be that guy that's like, you know, 80.
Well, Steve Carell did a good job in his movie.
What?
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
Surely you've seen that one.
I have seen that one. But like 40, you're still kind of, you still got it, you know, but imagine when you're just like, I don't know, you get to 40 and you're like, man, that was a bad move. And then you like, can't, you know what I mean? You're just around like,
yeah, you missed your opportunity. You had a window that you could get crazy.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want, anytime, all the hedonism you want.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, every time you do, it will take something away and create more regret. Is what it does.
What do you mean?
I think you end up with diving into, okay, I mean, alcohol's great in quantity.
Let's do it.
In moderation.
Yeah.
Is an easy example. You know, I wouldn't treat them the same.
I've quit caffeine before. I was like, that's stupid.
Well, I'll tell you right this. Let me say it differently. Maybe this will make it easier. If you act like you're going to regret not taking advantage of that opportunity, and I'm telling you, you're going to regret taking advantage of that opportunity later.
Think so?
Oh yeah, I do.
This is going to sound misogynistic, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
At some point, you're going to get married, and this is going to show up.
That's fine.
She's going to say, "Well, you had an opportunity to hold back, and you went all in. That's taking away from your relationship and your marriage." You know, we're being transparent. We're sharing.
She'll understand.
Yeah.
The amount of lookers decrease as you age. I know that's not something you'll agree in, but like, you know, if I turn 40 and I'm like, you know what, screw it, no regrets, I'm gonna just play the field. The options, as far as optics are concerned, dramatically decrease. I don't know if I'm okay with that.
And then get married.
Then the options really decrease.
Yeah, you only have one.
So, I don't know, just a spiritual battle I'm facing right now.
Yeah, you'll have greater regret if you choose to go all in on that.
How can you say that for fact?
Because I know people that have gone through it. And they don't forget the people they were with. And every one of them was one more it took away from their one and only relationship. It all takes away from that. You can't erase it.
It's kind of bad. I don't know if I could see myself being married.
I mean, that's fine. You don't have to be married, but hedonism is not a good place to live either.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's not.
I just like the language and how dramatic it comes out. You heathen?
Not heathen, hedonism.
Heathen?
Yeah, it's the just...
I tried to kind of mumble it because I didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. going after... Living for the belly is another way we used to describe it.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. I just got to serve my appetite.
Do you think that's... Okay, can you moderate the hedonism? I'm going to be a hedon.
Yeah, moderating at zero is good. Can it just be one hooker a night? not every few hours.
Yeah.
Can it be one a week?
Maybe I could be.
Can I tally them?
Can I come up with a
quantity that would be okay?
Okay, so let me give you an analogy you'll understand. I'm not necessarily retail and I'm not wholesale. I'm more like OfferPad, somewhere in the middle.
I thought we didn't like OfferPad.
I mean, I don't, but I'm sure they're doing well. So,
I think you're going to be convicted by it.
There we go. Light bulb went off.
What?
That's it. That's maybe, never mind. I'm not going to incriminate myself. Keep going.
Yeah, I think you're going to be convicted by it. I think at some point you'll realize you're pouring into a cup that doesn't fill for temporary gain.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the short term, the temporary gain doesn't have any positive quality or, you know, long-term effects that are good. You're not building character. You're not growing. You're not building anything that's of good value. You know, I still think, as simple as it is, we're here on Earth to repopulate. And I think that's a big obstacle that we're coming into right now because we are not repopulating fast enough.
What do you think of the old, I don't know who said this, but like a man's purpose is to spread the seed with as many women?
I don't know who said that. It's that like sounds a, like nonsense.
It's a stoic.
Yeah, it's a philosopher, like yeah. an 80s rapper philosopher.
Yeah. Agree or disagree?
I think that's a bad premise. I think you get David Koresh. I think you get, you don't even know who that is, do you? The Waco crazy guy that thought he was Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you get.
You think I'm going to be a cult leader?
to burn more bridges, I think you get Mormonism. You know, a lot of it was based in polygamy.
Yeah.
You know, they can refute it all they want, but there's plenty of evidence that she's that they are okay with a polyamorous.
Let's say that's a lot of the cults.
And I'm giving cult cults setting. As an example, but it, you know, setting up, I'll say it this way. I think probably one of the greatest, and most people don't have a philosophical view of America or where they're going or what they want to do, but creating compounding fatherless homes is a problem in here in America, is a huge problem.
Yeah.
We don't repopulate fast enough, and we're producing fatherless children that are coming up into society. They think that's the culture, that's the way we do it.
Yeah, that's not good.
And we're all animals, right? And they devalue what we are and what we bring and how we add real value to a real community through a mm-hmm. nuclear family. Those are good qualities. Those are reproducible. That's how we've sustained ourselves to now.
Yeah.
At the pace we're going now, we're not going to have enough people to be able to supply and take care of you and I. And it may not hit our generation, but it's certainly going to hit our children's generation.
Yeah.
We're not producing enough, and the people we do produce are bad, you know, when you don't have fathers.
Yeah.
So, no, the idea of spreading the seed everywhere is really not a very good philosophy.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold any weight. It's pitiful.
You could make a case, though. I think it could go either way. I mean, I think that there is a lot of data to show that it's you're better off with the father there. But there's people that do well without it.
There's always
it.
An
and,
exception.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's like if...
Let me say it this way. On a father, having a father in the home, you probably have a 1 in 5 chance of having great success. Without a father, you've got like a 1 in 100.
I like it. Probabilities.
I think it's easier to kind of...
You got more stacked against you.
You have 100% more stacked yeah. against you. Okay, think about this. We always talk about, and it's I like the discrepancy they use describing black people versus white people, right?
Oh, we're going
and,
there?
Yeah, we're going to talk about blacks and whites. Where they gave this kind of arbitrary race and they put everybody on the line, right? And they put all different kind of races and stuff. And then they would ask a question. If you grew up in a house where your mom was college educated, step forward. If you grew up in a house where you had both parents, step forward. If you grew up in a house where you have all your siblings are from the same parents, step forward. And they kept doing this. And eventually they said, okay, they asked 20 questions and we're ready to start the race. It's a 100-yard dash. And like a lot of the white, Chinese, Japanese, Asian, we're already halfway there. And then they said, okay, everyone start running. When they did that, it kind of put things in perspective that when you have fatherless, uneducated, already impoverished, living on the government, at a starting point, then you're starting way behind. And it's yeah. not your fault.
Yeah. Right?
But it's kind of like, you know, I want to take race out of it. But it's detrimental specifically to, you know, black people in particular, is they start off a lot of times that way. And it makes it really advantageous for everybody else. And they start in a disadvantage.
Mm.
So I thought it was a pretty good illustration to kind of like, because I like analogies because it helps us get our hand and mind around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about race, it's about where we start and how we start. So you want to create fatherless communities, then yeah, spread the seed. But we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
If we want to build it, if we have any type of, you know, American pride, you know, our pride in our Christian roots,
yeah.
then it's an antithesis. Anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
Damn.
No. I'm not dropping the mic. These are expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You left me speechless there. I don't even know how to combat that. That was a very educated answer.
I would have actually missed a lot of those check marks, right? I mean, that's a good thing, right? So I was thinking about, like I had like 3 fathers, you know, my biological, I didn't know until I was 18, you know, I had a lot of things like that. But I grew up upper middle class. I did, So I did have advantages there. I went to a really good high school, and it was implied that everybody that goes to our high school, like 98% went to college. So we were well established that we were going to have a future in college and move forward. So that was kind of inevitable, but I had to pay for everything.
Yeah.
You know, I paid for college. I paid for my cars. I paid for everything. And that made enormous impact for me. And I want to do the same thing for my kids, no matter how many properties we own. You know, we were adding it up just yesterday, Stacy and I, our properties. It's quite a bit.
Really?
I was like, man, we're not doing too bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard because we're in a kind of a bubble area where like all of my Alex's friends on the teams he plays on all live on incredibly, unbelievably expensive houses. Like we went to one the other day, it was like 2.8. And then another one.
Let you list it?
I've already got them on HomeBot. And then another one was like 4 something. Yeah. And another one, they own 5 properties and one of them was over 2 million. I mean, it's incredible. Damn. Like, and they just buy them cash.
Damn.
I don't know what mafia they're with. I don't know.
Yeah, let me know.
But anyway, so, but we're in kind of an exclusive space there. And not everyone's going to grow up that way. And it's hard to grow up. And half of them have au pairs. You know what an au pair is?
You told me the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. It means that you have someone full-time staff that lives with you at home. It's common in other cultures. You know, they'll bring them in. They'll pay them, like, let's say the equivalent would be like $20,000 a year, which doesn't sound like much money. And that's just a little more than daycare. And you have full-time care, right?
Yeah.
It's not as expensive as you think, but it tends to be more for the exclusive because you're also providing them a place to live and everything else. You don't have to pay a minimum wage.
Yeah.
And a lot of them come abroad because they just want to live here in America. So you'll hire them directly from like a European country and they'll come and live with you, with your family, take care of the kids, learn English and learn all the things they need and they'll get into the culture. So it ends up being kind of a win-win and they can make a little money at the same time.
Yeah.
So we have people like that. Our kids will not have an au pair, will not have a full-time nanny. And we will, but raising, think about raising them where you want to instill into them that you now have to earn money and save up for a car and save up for things. Mm-hmm. Ain't none of their friends doing that.
Yeah.
It's a real hard thing to give them that lesson.
Make it hard to work for something down the road. Like
if they don't, you bet it does.
Yeah.
Like my son is still, he hits.
That's probably why there's so many people just like 30 years old playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Like,
so he's going into third grade and in third grade, you should really have some chores at that point and making money each week, doing something to help the family. There's things you do to help the family. There's things you do that is above and beyond, like picking his sister's toys up.
Yeah.
That's not his problem, but it's a part of being our family. That's okay. We'll give you a little allowance to help us picking up the space that was not your mess.
Yeah.
You know, or taking out the trash for the entire family. Again, it's a community thing. You're going to help out and being able to pay him and do that. We could not find him motivated to do any of those things. And then something clicked. He broke the controller on my wife's Switch. And he felt so guilty. And he had to come tell me. And I've told him numerous times, take care of that thing. You know, you're only 8. And I know taking care of a $400 device is a big deal. But he kept dropping it. And then he finally broke one of the handles that stopped working, one of the buttons. And he was terrified to tell me. So he came and he told me. And we turn it into a lesson, right? You got to create a lesson out of these opportunities. So I always try to not let a crisis go to waste, right? So we learn. And so we made it a lesson in him being able to raise some money, do some work, be able to cover the cost of buying a controller. So, and he did. And he's doing some work for me for True West too.
What's he doing?
He's selling some houses. No. He takes pictures of all my receipts.
Oh, nice.
A QuickBook app and you take pictures on my receipts.
Nice.
So it takes him about 2 hours to get through, you know, half a year now. So I got a big stack of them he's going to go through and do for me.
Damn sweatshop over there.
Yeah, it's $1 an hour. No. Hey, I give him about $20 for it, which is a huge win for me.
Yeah.
I would not pay myself $20 to do it. I do not want to do it. So
that's good for that age, 10 an hour.
Yeah, you bet.
Take it. Well, we're running out of time. You got a listing appointment to go to. I got a showing in somewhere. I don't even know where it's at.
Well, very cool. Well, we didn't get the live call. We were going to have OfferPad call us, give us an update.
Yeah, but once again, they're behind on their time frames and call me back as normal, so never using them again. We'll keep you posted on the next episode how it plays out.
Sure.
It's a good way to reel you in. So if you need anything, spiritual advice, real estate, a career.
Yeah, anything. Real estate, if you need advice on Bible. I'm starting to create some Bible studies, by the way. Podcasts where I'm just recording live, going through and walking through like New Testament scripture and explaining how it works in layman's terms today.
It's like a new Jordan Peterson.
I'm not Jordan Peterson, but I think I'm gifted with being able to read and understand it and explain it to where people can understand it. I think I'm gifted to do that.
You better at something than him? Create some beef?
Yeah, I would take him on.
Yeah? Just a live debate?
Actually, I'll tell you where I would take Jordan on. Is he's so smart. He's unbelievably smart. But he's a little hard to understand because he's so smart. He says things that don't quite make sense. And I know he's saying things probably like two or three steps down the road and answering a question.
Yeah.
He's already past them. But you got to bring it back and put it in some real basic layman's terms that, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And he does say things that I know is well beyond where they're at. And they don't follow him because he's so smart. It's the only thing I'd say about Jordan. I think he's just too smart for a lot of it.
Well, Jordan, if you ever want to come on.
Yeah, let's do a debate.
Head-to-head debate. And I'll mediate it.
I don't know what I would debate because I agree with most everything he says.
Well, anyways, thanks for watching. And we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you.